Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the show sweeping the demand talk audio world called The Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the brilliant minds from the golf industry, and they'll be placed on the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. Nice start. Today we're honored to welcome one of the brightest minds in the industry, and he is none other than Harry Arnett, Senior VP of Callaway Golf, to the show. Are you ready to step onto the hot seat?
I like that. You used the word brilliant. You used, what else did you use there? Genius?
No. Your name?
My name? Yeah. What else was in there?
A few others.
I like it.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf, and this is your complete access to the equipment world that you are craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done until the show ends, so you'll hear it all. Only other rule is every guest must be accessible on either the THP forum or social media. Can you tell everybody how they can find you on Twitter?
I think I can do that. It's at Harry Arnett CG on Twitter.
At Harry Arnett CG on Twitter.
Right, on the Twitter, yes.
Let's jump right into it. You know, a lot of people know you have a background with another equipment company.
Yes.
How did you get started in golf?
Well, I always wanted to be in golf, and I didn't start playing golf really until my first job out of college. I was a soccer player, played college soccer, grew up that whole scene. And golf always seemed kind of boring to me. But this, as soon as I started playing right out of college, it hit me probably just like everybody else that's on the forum. And I had a million jobs before I ever got into the golf industry, and never really knew how I could get into the golf industry.
Best job you had and worst job you had?
It's a good question. Worst job, you mean the worst, like real job? Like
yeah.
Every 2 weeks, I get a salary?
Right.
Like those kind of jobs?
Post-college.
Yeah, because I did a lot of really crappy jobs between then. But my worst post, I don't want to name names, but I always think that any job is tolerable if you work for a good person. So, you know, when I think of the things that I really didn't enjoy, it was probably more personality conflict with the person that I had to work for than anything else. But and then the best job was first job I had out of college was working in sports radio. That was pretty cool. Getting to go to games,
was that North Carolina region, Georgia region?
Oh yes, in the right down there in the heart of WCW country, right in Atlanta.
WCW.
So we had decided to go from news talk radio to sports radio, and I was just in the right place at the right time, because generally if you were going to start in a major market like Atlanta, you had to come from somewhere else and had your feet wet somewhere else. But I got my feet wet right there. They loved the fact that they could also pay us like $8 an hour, which was my real hourly salary in
well, to be fair, we're a little older than some of our listeners. That yeah, was much higher than minimum wage.
That wasn't too bad. I remember my first paycheck, getting my first paycheck for 2 weeks, and it was like $512. That included overtime, and I thought I was rich. I was going to figure out where I could spend all that much money, because I think my rent was like a couple hundred bucks. I lived with like five other guys.
Sounds sanitary.
Yeah, great. That job was great. Crazy hours. I was working. The other thing that was very much illegal was they only let us put in for 45 hours, even though we were working like 60, 70 hour a week.
Sounds like Callaway.
It's just like Callaway, exactly.
So you decided you liked golf?
Yeah, I mean, like isn't even a strong enough word. I mean, fell in love immediately with the game, and I was working mornings with another guy who played college golf, so he was sort of my gateway into golf. And I always think you have to have somebody that's kind of like your golf Sherpa that gives you access to the game. This was 20 plus years before a THP or anything like that would exist, where you could sort of find this community of peers to help you get into the game and learn about the game. So my friend who grew up with the game brought me into the sport. And so since we had these weird hours, I was showing up at the station at 3 and we were done by noon. And usually if there's a game at night, those wouldn't start till 7. So we had this huge block of time that we'd have to, you know, that you'd do whatever you want. And so he brought me into the game, and we were playing 4 or 5 times a week. I was playing really, you know, really shitty golf, but it was 4 or 5 times a week. It was phenomenal.
So how did that transition to working in golf?
So I always knew that I wanted to figure out a way to get into golf, but I didn't even really know what that meant until fast forward many, many years, and I was working in sports industry in just general sporting goods for Russell Corporation in Atlanta, and working for doing general sports, no general sports athletic apparel, footwear, and just got really lucky. A friend of mine knew that that TaylorMade was hiring for a marketing guy. I sent my resume in, didn't know a single person there, and they called me wanting to interview me, and the rest is history. Got the job, moved out literally 2 weeks later, and been here ever since in the golf industry.
And you're going on how many years now?
I'm into my 10th year in golf. Wow. So my 10th, I always think of it as seasons. I'm into my 10th golf season, or PGA show.
Because, seasons change a lot around here.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Callaway's had kind of, you could call it almost a remarkable turnaround. We've been working with them for around 8 years, and the dynamics have shifted. What would you say has been your secret, if you want to call it that, that's made you guys so successful in the new digital marketing age? Not necessarily an amount of products sold, but the golf industry is always a little behind. I relate it because of who works and the different companies involved. You guys have kind of adapted to a new age of multimedia and marketing better, or I should say different than everybody else. How?
No, I'm going to say better. Okay. I honestly think it is better. And it's definitely more my taste for what I like to see in the digital space, specifically, because I don't think that we really market to people. I don't feel like when we're at our best, we're not pumping the consumer full of ad messaging and making it derivative of what we're doing from a core marketing message. That we really try to play in an organic kind of vernacular way with the consumer. And we feel very strongly here, as we do with our products, that we want to be a part of the community. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. We don't want to be feeling like the golfer is in the snow globe and all of the OEMs are standing outside of the snow globe trying to figure out how to get that little tiny plastic golfer in there with the fake snow falling on him. You following this metaphor? You got
I'm
it?
With you, okay. Completely.
We don't want to feel like that person is sort of on the inside this bubble, getting crushed with all this ad messaging and trying to convince that person to do something they're not going to want to do. We want to feel like we're inside that globe with anybody else. That's that whole idea that we've talked about for 4 years now about the sphere of influence being a lot different than what golf companies or any company typically thought of.
Ad marketing is still fun.
Oh yeah, I love it. I think I would say we're still going to be talking in very grandiose terms about performance and really hyping the performance attributes of our products as much as anyone else. I think that when we're at our best, to me, you can see that there's a little bit of we're in this with you. And as I always say, it's sort of like the old Letterman show is we're all in on the joke. We're not pulling anything over a consumer or the golfer, that you're in on this creating excitement around. At the end of the day, golf's not life and death. It's not.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you're right. So it's not as serious an endeavor as other things that should be taken very seriously, particularly now in our election season. But it's something that as golfers, it's sort of like our escape mechanism from all that stuff. And we want to create as much excitement and enjoyment around that as we can. And so we're always talking in pretty grand terms about what our products do and how they perform and how we think they're better than anybody else's.
You move at a different level than a lot of people. And I don't mean that as fast or quick or sleight of hand or anything like that. What would you say is your biggest strength when putting together a successful marketing plan? And what is the biggest weakness?
Callaway or me? Me personally. Oh, me personally. Well, I think that would be a question you could ask people that work with me, but I think that we definitely have a team environment here. And with that is everybody's input matters. And I think that we're not afraid to take risks. As a leader of that group, I don't ever, I tell the group this, I never will punish a mistake. I will never get mad at somebody who tries to do something different that doesn't succeed. What I'll get more upset about is when we're trying to do the same things over and over again. Because the at the end of the day, I think going back to kind of your original question, I think what we do better than anybody right now, and I'm not saying this as a I'm not saying this to sound you know self-aggrandizing or I mean this in the humblest way possible, is we've gotten to a place where we do our own thing. And I would think, again, when we're at our best and you look at stuff that Callaway does, whether it's advertising or marketing in the marketing space or in the digital media space, it's not going to look like stuff that other people do. It's not going to be derivative of something that somebody else does. When we're at our best in the product space, same thing. We're going to do something that somebody else is not doing. It's not going to be our version of something that somebody else is doing. And I think that that's really what I try to get the group to embrace, is to try new things, to really think like a golfer. I know that sounds simple, but a lot of times it's not. And to try to create these engagement vehicles, whether it's digital marketing or social media or events or things that we do that are creating a unique experience and a golf experience unlike anything that anybody can get anywhere else. When we're at our best, that's what we're doing. When we're not, it's when we're doing some lame rip-off close facsimile of something somebody else has done. And we know that immediately when it's happened, and those are the things we generally are, you know, try to avoid.
You move fast, and you know, we kind of said that previously. And you have a lot of responsibility, and I'm not going to get into like your different positions here and everything, but as you said when you got started, you were a golfer first. Do you now find yourself as less of a golfer and more of a golf person working in golf, or are you still a golfer as a purist?
Oh, no, absolutely not. The day that I come in here and feel like this is a job is the day that I'm going to walk into and resign, because golf is tough, and the sport's not growing to the degree that we'd all like for it to grow. And so you have to be passionate about what you're doing. And I always think, and I haven't lost this yet, I think I always feel like, even you know, going on a decade into the industry, I'm always trying to think like an outsider of the industry and to think like a consumer and to remind myself what it's like to walk into a golf shop or a sporting goods store and have to actually buy something, put my credit card down, get my wife to approve the expense, you know, or hide it from her, or the stuff that I did before I got
read our form.
Yeah, exactly. Or to get the things that you have to do to when you're in this in the game. And I remember, I remember vividly before I got into the industry, going in the golf shop on weekends, or going, you know, 2-3 times a week just to swing different clubs or putt, go into the putting corral, or what have you. And that same sort of enthusiasm and passion for the person buying the golf club, I think, is what drives me and all the other people here at Callaway to try to stay on top.
When you're thinking as a golfer and you actually get away to go play, do you find yourself focusing on golf, or are you still thinking about everything back at the office?
It's a little bit of both. I think that one of the things that is, I was just talking to my wife about this the other day, is most of the people I play golf
with. We chatted before this.
Most of the people that, put in a good word for me, will you?
I'll try.
Yeah.
Vice versa, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. What things I really like about working in the industry is being around people that love the game. And you know, most of the people, 99% of the time I'm playing golf, it's with someone I'm working with. And so, you know, work is going to come up, but it's, I enjoy it. I still enjoy it, of course. I mean, I wouldn't play it if I didn't enjoy it.
I found, and I'm not going to make this about me, but I found myself that there was a 6 or 7 month stretch where playing seemed like work. And I don't know what happened, but this year it's reverted back to just the why I love this game.
Yeah, I'm probably more competitive than I'd like to be, and I'm not a great player, but I don't enjoy
our granddaddy captains disagree.
Well, I've had pretty good success there, but I don't enjoy playing bad golf, and I don't enjoy not having any idea where the ball's going. I'm not someone that likes to go play golf and you know, have a bunch of beers and you know, that's not my style. I'm more competitive about trying to do my best on the golf course, and that's probably not a good thing because I'm constantly frustrated because who's ever as good as they want to be.
Yeah, we had a thing that out a while back that we asked on social media, which was fun, competitive, serious with golf. Like, rank those three things. I always found I was like fun, then serious, then competitive, because I'm not the guy who likes to go out and have a bunch of beers on the course. I'm not against it. I think people should do that if that's their thing, but I still really want to play well.
Yeah.
I'll find myself playing for the score too, instead of going for the hero shot, even when I'm playing alone. And I'm like, what am I doing? I got a chance for the greatness, and instead I'm playing not to bogey.
Yeah. I'm sort of that way too. I'm definitely more fun and competitive than I am serious. I'm definitely not a serious golfer. You know, yeah. If you and I play, we'll be having fun and cracking
jokes.
We've
never played.
And,
that's fact. We've
that
never
is.
Played.
We should play golf sometime.
Yeah, sometime.
Maybe someday we can play.
The granddaddy seems like
probably,
a good spot for it.
We could probably arrange that.
Yeah. One of the things that comes up every time we talk about Callaway, and it came up at your previous company when we worked there, is product releases. And if I didn't get it out on the first podcast we did with you here, it would probably... the readers would not be happy. So what do you say when you hear, oh, God, another driver? You know, I always relate it to God forbid choices. You know, we want spoon-fed. And I've always said that golf is the only industry I've ever heard this in. And everything, every other consumer good, they're like, oh, another release. This is great. Why? I'll ask you this and kind of shape it into the question of what is the difference if a company makes 100,000 widgets, or they make 10 different widgets, but 10,000 of each, and each time one's gone, they release another. Why is that a different thing?
Well, you kind of lost me with the widget talk, but I know where you're going with that. I don't know. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, as with anything. I think it's not as bad as the loudest of the loud feel like it is. But I also think as an industry, we did get too aggressive there 3-4 years ago. I think that I think there was one company in particular that was definitely driving that. I think, and I may have worked for them once upon a time, and I think that there were a lot of reasons for that. The consumer doesn't lose in that environment. If anything, the consumer has a lot more power. I think what frustrates people is thinking that, you know, $400 or $500 or $350 or whatever it is, that's a lot of money, and they view a golf equipment as an investment rather than as an expense, as, you know, really what it is. And so they feel like, oh, if I walk out the door and now the value of the golf club that I bought is going to reduce based on some release that's happening in the future, that in some way is going to impact them in a negative way. But in truth, if you really put dollars and cents to it, the golfer's not losing any real utility from the rapid release. But I do think that it gets frustrating trying to keep up with whatever the latest, greatest claim that companies are making when they release it. But I do think also that the golfer's right in a lot of ways, that we did get too fast in releasing things as an industry as a whole. And some companies weren't as fast as others. You know, Titleist and Ping were still... Mm-hmm. Kind of two years or so, and Callaway and TaylorMade were, you know, every year in some cases multiple releases during a year.
And, well, you said every other year, but in like the fairness, if you're talking about Ping, and we're not going to really make it about them, but they released one driver one year and then another one the next year, so they did have a new release every year.
Yeah, I think it's perception, and they did a better job, I think, of managing that perception than others did. And, you know, they should be commended for that too. And I think that from a Callaway standpoint, we hear it loud and clear. And I think that we've definitely slowed down slowed down in some ways. You know, we're 2 years now in irons. We're getting to longer life cycles in woods. And we, you know, it just took a little bit of time for us to get to where we wanted to be.
What does the future hold for you and your team?
I think more of the same. I think we're going to try to continue to increase the pace in which we're creating content and engaging with consumers. I think that that'll take a lot of different avenues for us. We're doing a lot of really interesting things, I think, with long-form content in the marketing and media space. And that's, you know, from Callaway Live, which is a 25-minute live show that I think is a lot of fun for not just us here, but for the guests and the people watching it. We'll be doing a lot more other long-form type stuff, as well as exploring content partnerships with outside sources like Vice Media and Dude Perfect.
The Vice stuff's really well done.
So there's a lot of cool stuff we're doing there. And then none of this is possible without really feeling like we're going to continue to lead in performance and bringing interesting, cool, demonstrably superior, pleasingly different product to the market when we launch them.
Well, finally, we wouldn't be doing the show if we didn't do Fire Away. Put you on the hot seat.
Fire away.
10 hot questions. Seat. First thing that comes to your mind, nothing to do with golf.
Okay, this is not golf related.
Who wins the NCAA championship this year?
Duke will win it.
I'm shocked.
That was more wishful thinking than anything else.
You're an East Coast guy living on the West Coast. Better food on which coast?
I prefer East Coast food.
Best pizza toppings.
You can only eat so many fish tacos in your lifetime. True. I'm pretty simple. I don't go 4 or 5 deep on the pizza toppings. I like to go like sausage and onion or maybe 2 things. How about you?
I'm sausage and onion actually.
Yeah, I am the same.
Pepperoni sausage, pepperoni mushroom.
Yeah, just a couple.
Drive time, music or talk radio?
I haven't listened to music in the car in probably a decade. I'm definitely a talk radio guy. Problem is my commute's only like 4 minutes. It's one of the benefits of living up here in the burbs in North San Diego County. So I don't get to listen to more than, you know, 4 or 5 minutes at a time.
Favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show right now is Better Call Saul, which I was a huge Breaking Bad fan. But I also, and I hesitate, I'll get ridiculed for this, I know, from your listeners and the THP community. But I really like Good Wife on CBS, which is a really good show. I know, I can see you scowling over there. I don't care.
That's horrible.
It's a good show. That's a very good show, but Better Call Saul.
Have you ever seen any other TV shows?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
but I like those two, and I also recently got Netflix, maybe like 6 months ago.
Orange is the New Black. It's good.
So I haven't watched that one, but I've watched House of Cards.
That's good.
Narcos. All those are good.
Yeah. Orange is the New Black.
I'll watch Orange is the New Black. That's women in prison, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course. Who wouldn't want that?
How could that be bad?
You a road rage guy?
Do I get mad driving? Yeah. Like, is that like a video game or something? Or do I? No, my wife gets mad at me because she thinks that I don't drive fast enough. So I'm usually pretty chill on the. I'll tell you my biggest pet peeve. This is a southern thing, and this was a huge adjustment for me coming out here, especially driving a little bit north up in LA. Biggest pet peeve. See if you're with me on this one. When you let someone in to traffic and they don't thank you. That drives me crazy.
It drives her nuts.
Yes, it drives me crazy. That's the only thing that gets me upset when people do that. It happens all the time out here.
Speaking of the South, is ranch an acceptable condiment?
Well, my daughter would say yes. It goes with everything. I actually don't like ranch that much. Do you?
No, I'm not a huge ranch guy.
I don't understand
people dipping things in ranch. And
yeah. Out here, it's all salsa all the time.
Yeah.
You can put salsa on anything.
Best movie seen in the last year?
10-year-old and an 8-year-old. I'm not really
so watched, Frozen.
I'm not
repeatedly.
Really. Yeah, I mean it's all like kid movies.
Best sandwich.
Best sandwich. You're gonna ridicule me for this, but I'm known around the office as whenever we order sandwiches in, it's like 10 generic ham and cheese, turkey, whatever, and one. Wait for it.
Peanut butter and jelly.
PB&J.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pick finally. You have it. There's a 10-foot putt to win. We'll say the granddaddy.
Yeah.
You were not there. Pick one Zoo Crew guy you have confidence in to make it.
One Zoo Crew person to make the putt. I'm just going through like process of elimination of who's going to make that putt. I don't consider us to be a great putting outfit, but I will say, because I know he'll be grinding over it and he'll be aim pointing, I'm going D-Nevs.
That was the first one that came to my mind.
I'm going to count on D-Nevs to make that putt.
We're going to wrap this up. We want to thank everybody for listening. Tune into iTunes, drop a review, and let us know what you think. For Harry and myself, bye, everybody.